The Kingston, Frontenac, and Lenox Addington Public Health Authority issued an alert to residents yesterday about a recent rise in drug-involved poisoning and associated symptoms in the region. Several surrounding communities, as you know, have issued a similar warning. We just had the mayor of Belleville, Ontario, on recently. We had the police chief on. He was describing how atrocious it has been there. How disturbing the overdoses have become. How many of them have been clustered together. In fact, the word that he used the day that people were dropping to the ground in clusters on the streets of Belleville, he called it carnage when he was on the show. It is very troubling to hear these alerts. I want to welcome on our next guest, Justine McIsaac with Consumption Treatment. She is, the Consumption Treatment Coordinator for the Kingston Community Health Center. Thank you so much for coming on, Justine.
Thank you for having me.
Can you describe to me what's happening right now in Kingston?
Chaos. We have people that are being literally poisoned to death by an unregulated toxic drug supply, and people are overdosing and dying at astronomical rates.
What's in the drugs?
There's several different dangerous cuts and fillers that we're seeing in the unregulated supply that people are using. Things like tranquilizers, like xylazine, metatidine, that are typically used for animals. Bootleg benzodiazepines like bromazolam, etizolam, things like that, that may mimic the desired effects that people are looking for, but it is causing serious consequences to their health. Making it hard for first responders to respond to these overdoses because of the dangerous cuts and fillers. And unfortunately, we're in a position where Narcan doesn't necessarily improve the situation for that person based off of what's in the drugs that they're using.
And why is that, Justine? Why does Narcan not work?
Because the cuts and fillers that they're cutting into the bootleg fentanyl, they're not opioids. So Narcan is intended to reverse an opioid overdose, and these things are not opioids.
Do we know why this is happening now and where this is coming from?
For us, we've been, we've seen a steady increase over the last few years in the illicit market getting more and more dangerous. I think this is to potentially maximize people's profits. Some of these cuts and fillers are very accessible and easy to get a hold of. And let's be honest, like people that are profiting off of this have no moral code whatsoever.
So it's been a 50% increase in apparent drug poisonings. Is that correct?
That's correct. We have, it feels like we're in the midst of a war and we're just slanging bodies trying to care for as many people and respond as quickly as possible, not only to prevent them from dying of an overdose, but to minimize the impacts of overdose, like noxious brain injuries and things like that.
What happens when these individuals come in? What sorts of symptoms are they experiencing?
We're seeing really complicated symptoms that aren't necessarily traditional to an opioid overdose. Things like low blood pressure, low heart rate, hallucinations, very dangerous hallucinations, vomiting, discoloration of skin, on top of all the normal symptoms of respiratory distress, like turning blue, not breathing, etc.
If these latest overdoses are not responding well to naloxone, what other tools do you have in the toolkit to respond?
That's right. Well, we're very lucky as we operate a safe consumption site and we have access to paramedics on site as well as airway intervention. We are monitoring and responding to these overdoses with airway intervention, so oxygen, things like that. And so the thing that's scary about that is for those that are out in community responding to overdoses that don't have these tools, it could come with grave consequences.
The nearby city of Belleville, as you know, declared a state of emergency. There were 17 overdoses in just 24 hours earlier this month, or last month now, February. Is that similar to what you're seeing in your area? Would you call it an emergency? Are you in that space right now where you would use that word?
We've been in an emergency for years.
Right. How have you seen it progress from where you sit? What has the evolution looked like?
The evolution was, you know, I started in working in a safe consumption site in 2018. We could have a typical response to an opioid overdose and manage that quite well and hopefully move somebody on in a healthy way. But now people's brains, people are suffering from significant brain injuries from overdosing 60 to 70 times. The regulated supply gets more and more toxic by the week. And it's really changing the capability of recovery for some people.
What do you mean by that?
So when we look at, you know, lack of oxygen to people's brains, mm-hmm. it changes their behavior. It changes how they function and really can impact long-term care. We're looking at, you know, not only are we in a crisis where people are dying, but we're going to have 40-year-olds in long-term care homes because they can't function. Their brain capacity is no longer there.
Wow. On your end, what do you feel that, I'm going to say, the various levels of government could be doing about this? Let's start with the municipality. Let's start with the region.
Yeah, the municipalities, you know, they do have the capability to decriminalize, and also they have the capability to fight the stigma associated to people who use substances, to people that are responding to overdoses and supporting people, and just try to minimize the impacts to the best of their ability in their community by supporting progressive movements. Provincially, we need to be far more advanced in our response. You know, I say this all the time, safe injection sites have existed in Europe since the 70s. The people that are struggling here, it's no different. We need to have our province back and support decriminalization and adequate safe supply for people. We need to remove the illicit drug market completely and provide people prescription grade adequate substances that aren't going to kill them. And federally, we need decriminalization across the board and safe supply across the board.
Justine, I've only got about 30 seconds. What about a detox center? Because I'm looking at the Kingston Health Sciences Center and it says it's only a 22 bed facility.
We could really use
how can you even keep up when there's only 22 beds?
We can't. And that's the thing. The government wants us to push treatment. Well, then they better back it up and come up with the money and the beds for treatment. I can refer somebody to treatment today, but they have a 10-month wait. They're dying before they even get to treatment.
Justine, I'd love to have you back on the show when we have more time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Take care.
A 10-month wait to get in for treatment. Justine McIsaac, who's the Consumption Treatment Service Coordinator for the Kingston Community Health Center. Wow. That really paints the picture of what's going on there. So you hear from people in Kingston, from Belleville, from some of these smaller communities, smaller than Ottawa, about what they're grappling with. A huge problem and a lack of resources.